You're listening to another episode of Fanwagon.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fanwagon. Hello, welcome to Fanwanking. I'm Bill.
Hey, guys.
Hi, this is
Hey, guys. Welcome to Fanwanking. We have Jim Dandino and Dave Weinberg here. Hey, guys. How's it going?
So, this is our New Year's resolution launch episode since 2012. What's going on, guys? How are you? Good.
What's up?
What's going on?
You're like, oh, hello, guys.
Okay, let's start this over, guys.
I'm on my yacht this week.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of Fanwanking. This is our New Year's episode, I guess you could say it, as our first episode of the new year. And we're into 2013, and we've been away for a few weeks, I guess, because of the holidays and all other things going on in our lives. But glad to have Dave Weinbrack and Jim Dandino back in the line. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Nothing, just kind of, you know, things are kind of slowing, not slowing down, but kind of things are getting back to normal now because the holidays kind of make things go crazy and, you know, you're so busy and everybody's just too busy to do things, and just kind of glad that we're back in the role of doing the podcasts and getting back to business,
having a semi-normal schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you're first it was Thanksgiving, and then we get Christmas, and then New Year's, and we had drunk all the time. We had the Sandy hurricane and all the stuff. So a lot of things kind of like put us back with setbacks and delays and stuff like that. So I'm kind of glad that the holidays are kind of winding down and we're kind of gearing up for a new year. And we just changed up the website a few days ago, so kind of gave it a new facelift. Thank you. I'm glad people are giving me a lot of good feedback about it. So I'm pretty psyched about it. I was having some issues with it earlier on before we put it up, but it's looking good, I think.
Yeah.
We're back.
Taking it.
Yeah, you like it, Dave? You like it, Jim? Nice.
I do.
I like the green and white better than the blue, so.
Yeah, I thought the green and white is kind of what the original idea was for the, you know, the green is kind of the staple woo-wah color, that Kelly green color, and the white just kind of pops it out a little bit better, I think. So,
We're the coolest green and white thing in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Take that, Jets fans.
Yes.
Butt fumble.
we're the true green and white, and we're actually from Jersey, so which is good. No offense to Jim. Sorry, Jim.
Nah, it's fine. I honestly, I wouldn't want to be associated with the Jets either. that was absolutely the greatest moment I've ever witnessed in a football game ever.
Oh, when Mark Sanchez ran into his lineman's butt and fumbled.
Yes. I can't believe that. I cannot believe that is actually a thing that happened. It's incredible, and it was beautiful to witness live.
What's gonna happen with him now? Are they, I don't really follow a whole lot of football, to be honest with you, but I hear things here and there. I watched a little bit of news. I saw an interview, a post-interview with him, but I heard that, is he going to be...
He's going to go rest with his millions of dollars and never play football again, maybe be a backup in the CFL.
Well, here's the thing with Sanchez, is that they're paying him $18 million next year.
Right.
So they really can't do anything with him other than have him there.
So he's gonna he's still gonna be with the Jets.
Realistically speaking, the best case scenario that the Jets can hope for is that they cut him and pay him to not show up to work.
But the thing is, it costs like against their salary cap so much they can't even do that. Like they're stuck with him.
They just need him to hang around as the backup quarterback until they can get rid of him for cheap.
Or retire. They need him to actually, the best thing that could happen is if he retired, which
Why
he won't
do.
Why
would he do that, though? No. That's ridiculous.
Because then he gets
no
money.
That money.
Are the Giants even in it for the Super Bowl, or are they even
Actually, I was just thinking about this today. This is the first time in recent memory that no New York football team has been in the playoffs.
Yes, that's true. I would say like 15 years or something. There was a stat. It was up.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Let's consult my dear friend, the internet.
While Jim is looking up this information, I was thinking about maybe we can kind of focus around today's show around New Year's and New Year's resolutions and, you know, kind of doing a little bit of a unique twist to it and what we want to get out of this 2013 year and what we look for. Not personal stuff, but more like what we look forward to in our, you know, in the comic industry. In the
I was going to say, this is about to become the darkest episode of this show ever.
Yeah. So I want to go around the room here, and once Jim figures out about the Giants.
Oh, it's not really important.
Okay, and then we can kind of go around the room and see what we want to get out of 2013 in all categories.
Let's go around the room. You can introduce yourselves and...
I'll start with you, Dave, since I have a feeling you have something on your mind here. So, you know, we'll go around the room a few times and kind of, you know, go up, pick off each other and see what we come up with.
Just in general, like, what is stuff I'm looking for or forward to, or...
Yeah, what you could predict, like, okay, what you're looking... We can go do in two ways. We can go what we're looking forward to and what we think is going to happen.
Well, I mean, in...
What we want.
What do I think is going to happen? I guess what I'm looking forward to is just the continued, I guess, consistency out of DC. I mean, that would be... And out of Image, those are probably the two best things. I probably stole Jim's. But as far as comics go...
I don't think... So I'm jumping in now to argue with you. I don't know that Image can maintain this level of consistency because they had such a good year.
It's all dependent, I guess, because they're like the, I'll say, forerunners of this whole creator-owned movement.
Yep.
I think Hackslash is going away in March from the looks of it.
Yeah.
But they still have Revival, so they still have something Sealy related going on.
Yep.
Walking Dead will still be Walking Dead unless they do something. Granted, I'm only on issue 80, but unless they do something completely off the map.
And there's also the chance that there's some Walking Dead burnout.
True.
Yeah, you know, World War Z's coming this year, and that's going to be an atrocity.
Wasn't there some issues with the
the new showrunner left again.
Okay.
The showrunner for season 3. Did he do 2 Mazzara? Did he do 2 and 3 or did he just
Yes, he did 2 and 3.
Yeah, he's gone.
But what about the comic 2 episode or issue 100? There are some people weren't
Dave's not there yet, so Jim's not going to spoil that for him.
Okay, we're not going to go there. Okay. I'm not there either, but I haven't heard
I
heard
you
there
can
some
say
problems.
If it was a disappointment or not, I guess for you.
I respect Walking Dead for what it does, and I respect Walking Dead for being like the highest profile creator-owned book out there. But it is relentlessly depressing, and that's not really what I look for in a comic.
Okay.
And all I'll tell you is it continued to be relentlessly depressing in issue 100.
No, depressing. We won't go there. But
it's
depressing in a Walking Dead kind of way.
Okay.
Really all you could say. In the Robert Kirkman, all bets are off,
all
except
bets
for
are
Carl
off.
Way.
Okay. That's okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dave. So go on.
I mean, for me, those are like standout books I'll always kind of read as long as they're there. I guess it was a good year. It was the year of the creator, wasn't it? Revival. You have the Massive. Yeah. You have Saga. You have
Manhattan Project. You have, you got just about every high profile guy putting out something on their own.
Punk Rock
Jesus.
Even
if they're also putting out something corporate.
Mm-hmm. Except for Snyder, who took time off of American Vampire to do Batman.
Their hiatus is, the issue that came out this week is the last issue before the hiatus. So at least in 2012, he had something consistently coming out that was his own.
Mm-hmm.
Remender didn't have anything creator on this year, I don't think.
Well, yeah, but isn't Snyder even doing like a different creator-owned book next year?
I don't know.
I thought he was doing like another horror book with somebody.
No, was he?
I thought that's what came out of Comic-Con. It's been so long ago, I don't remember.
I know. Like, the whole world just freaked out since then.
Yeah.
Superman. That's what he's got. That's what the big announcement at Comic-Con was.
I thought there was something else smaller, too, like another Vertigo thing.
I don't think he has time for another Vertigo thing. If he's going to be writing the flagship Superman and the flagship Batman books, you're basically running half of the comic book universe.
Well, wasn't it a third Superman book, though? Or was it Superman?
Yeah, it's Man of Steel.
Yeah.
They're going to keep Diggle and Tony Daniel on Action Comics, and they're going to have whoever they have left that was writing back when Doomsday first showed up. He'll keep writing the main Superman book. I don't particularly care for the Superman line right now.
Where are they at now with Superman?
So Morrison's wrapping up his run on Action Comics, and hopefully it reads better. He's got like one or two issues left, and hopefully it reads better as when you sit down and read it all at once. Because it's been really uneven. And then you have the other Superman book, which is right now making me like Supergirl less because there's this stupid crossover.
Yeah, and Superman
kind of like Smart Bizarro or something. I don't know. His name is Hell with an apostrophe.
Like Hill.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, Superman has been one of, I guess Superman's, I'm just reading it because it's Superman.
Since the relaunch, Superman as a whole has just been a nightmare screw up.
Yeah, Perez didn't do it any favors at first.
No. And it's not that Perez didn't do it any favors. It's that they had no idea what they were doing with him. It's that like Superman is really where the half-assedness of the reboot kind of shone through. Because if they had any clue what they wanted to do with Superman, there would have been some kind of like line-wide coordination instead of Grant Morrison getting Action Comics and everyone just kind of figuring it out from there. And then they had that like weird like 5 years behind thing, and then they jump forward maybe but not really, and people are still trying to work around that.
Well, I remember that was originally the goal, was to have them catch up, have one start behind, have the other one not be.
Right. But I'm not entirely certain they've caught up yet. And we're now almost 2 years into it. By the time this is finished, it's going to be 2 years later, real time.
Yeah. I got to, when it first came out, I remember hearing, Action is going to be in the past. And I go, I don't want to read that. And so I skipped Action.
I mean, I do because, like Morrison said, this is, he wrote the end of Superman in All-Star Superman, and he wrote the middle of Superman in Final Crisis and Superman Beyond. And now this was his chance to like write the beginning of Superman and basically tell the whole story. And it just has not really worked out that way. There's been flashes of brilliance. The last issue was really good. Issue 9 was one of the best single issues that came out last year of any comic. But like, then you get issues that don't really go anywhere, and then you get like a 2-part interlude where he gets put on trial by the anti-Superman army as the first storyline with Brainiac is supposed to be ending, supposed to be wrapping up.
Okay. All right.
For me, it's been pretty much, you know, no better than the Batman books there for me.
No, the Snyder's Batman has been the best comic that DC's been putting out all year. Month in and month out.
Yeah, pretty much anything that has the Bat verse in it has been pretty good. I'll say consistently good.
Batman and Robin was a really, really pleasant surprise. I did not expect it to be as good as it was. And it's very good.
And ink is good.
Yeah, did you read this week's?
No.
Ooh, child.
No, I'm actually getting my stuff tomorrow, so.
Yeah. So I'm actually thinking, Mark Waid apparently did a thing about digital. So I'm thinking about for ink and for Robo, for Atomic Robo, I'm thinking about going digital only because like I'm gonna buy those and trade anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the only other thing I was gonna talk about was just like, you know, you pretty much have the second wave of Marvel movies kicking off this year and
yep.
Evil Dead remake, which surprisingly looks phenomenal. This is probably the first, you know, big ticket horror remake I'm actually kind of sold on before the fact. And that's really it.
Let's stick with this horror. We're going to talk about horror remakes really quick. I want to talk about this really quick since you brought it up, Dave. As far as the horror remakes we've seen in the past, I don't know, 5 years, has anything? Do you think anything has been successful? I mean, I know that you know they've
made money, but like successful in the sense that it's been good.
Yeah, I mean quality. Is it anything that? Would you say it's anything that's worth watching other than just for?
I mean, the Crazies remake was okay, but it was like a completely different movie.
You haven't seen Texas Chainsaw yet, right?
No, that comes out this weekend.
Now that's a remake of which one?
It's not.
It's not a remake.
A sequel to the first one,
but it's new. It's brand new.
Yes. Oh, but it takes place after the first movie.
Okay. Now, if we're going back in time, the second Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where did that take place? Was that
after the first, like 20 years after the first one?
Oh, okay.
I don't know where that fits in, or if it fits in, or no, I don't think it was 20 years. I think it was 10 years. But I don't know where that fits in or how it will or what goes on there. But which it was a great movie in its own right, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I don't know what to think of this new one until I see it. But it's definitely interesting that they're not going remake. They're not remaking it for a third time. They're going with just a straight sequel. But otherwise, the only other one that I really liked at all, I mean, the My Bloody Valentine was fun because it didn't take itself seriously, and the same thing with the Piranha one. Those were the two best ones because they were like, all right, we are bad on purpose. But this Evil Dead one looks like it's brutal on purpose.
Okay.
And I guess, like, if you wanted to say the original Last House on the Left, or the Last House on the Left remake was okay. I'll give you that one, too. But they've been really few and far between. It's just been, all right, let's you know, what can we rehash? What can we rehash? Oh, people have heard of this one. Let's do it.
Do you think horror movies are just? Do you think they can? Anybody can come up with an original today's original horror movie that will stand the test of time, like we've seen 20
Sinister.
Years ago?
Sinister has every bit of, or had every bit of, cool new thing going for it. And I think it made some money. There was this independent one, which, yes, it's still going found footage and shaky cam, but VHS, that was really cool because it was an anthology.
Right.
So they're still doing some... There's still stuff that's out there that's still good. The Possession was pretty good. The one about the... It took place in, like, Hebrew mythology.
Oh, right, right. Yep.
That one was pretty cool.
Sinister looks good. I mean, Sinister looked good from, you know, I haven't
Sinister
seen it.
Is the one where, and every review of it, especially amongst, like, you know, the quote-unquote horror pundits, was great. And, like, you know, it's made pretty much every horror top 10 list, and for whatever reason, I didn't go see it. Mainly because you know, people are like, oh, I'll go see that with you. I'll go see that with you. And then all of a sudden it's out of theaters. Yeah. And I was like, where have you been? Oh, it's out? Yeah, it's long gone. But
it just,
that one's hitting Blu-ray, I think, soon. So that'll be a cool one to keep an eye on.
It just doesn't seem like they have the what it... It's like that something special they used to have back in the day. I mean, they don't. It's not like it's not that they're not taking chances. It's that the
no.
It's a different
it's
time
just
too.
It's a different just yeah.
It's the same as it was because back then they just shoveled whatever crap script that came through the door. They shoveled them back out and made crap movies for as little money as they could spend as they possibly could, and you'd get. You'd get piles of like terrible slasher movies. Like
there's tons of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but like Happy Birthday to Me has its charm, you know.
Yeah, and Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I mean, there's a lot more back then than there are now. It's like
they could get away with a lot more back then.
Right.
Though.
Yeah.
It was a lot more movies back then. They made a lot more movies because movies are so much more expensive to make now. That the studios don't want to take chances on anything that's not going to make $50 million.
Yeah, because everything got a wide release. Like, if you had a production company, you were getting stuff put out. You know, the Deadly Spawn got made. You know, thank God it did, because movies like that are great, but you know, like, all it took were, you know, five guys in New Jersey putting together with a script and a camera and some lights, and you basically had a movie.
I'm just like, I'm just tired of all these movies that are coming out. They're all about paranormal, this and paranormal. They're all about ghosts and stuff like that. And I don't see a lot of the good stuff, like the hack and slash kind of stuff that used to come out all the time. I don't see a lot of it. It's every so often. And I could be wrong because I'm not as involved with it as much as you, Dave. But every movie that I see a trailer for on TV has to do with about paranormal ghost shit you don't see.
Well, that's the new thing. That's they finally went back to, all right, let's make stuff cheap.
Yeah.
Cheaply, as inexpensively as possible.
Right.
But it's, you know, Paranormal Activity, which to a degree,
right,
is a fine idea for doing something. You know, the first one was great. The second one was the third one was pretty good. The fourth one I enjoyed, but it wasn't, you know, amazing by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. It's just...
It's like this other movie I just
They
saw.
Can crank it out and make, you know, their money back times 10 opening weekend.
I saw this movie, I don't know, I rented it maybe 2 months ago. I forgot that. It's about the these two kids that are like a hotel that's...
The Innkeepers.
Yes. And it took it wasn't horrible. It just took forever for anything to happen.
It was a classic slow burn of a movie. Innkeepers is pretty good, but it's probably one of the better ideas that's been out. Even a better one than that was Insidious. Yeah. Insidious was an awesome ghost movie.
Yeah. It's like I miss, like, you know, I love the. You know, I like the whole Leatherface, Michael Myers kind of the slasher films.
The last good original slasher film was probably the first Hatchet.
Okay. Same resort, yeah.
Hatchet's a good one. It's like, made by this guy Adam Green. It's pretty good.
It's like we used to, like in the 80s and the 90s, we had the iconic, you know, Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, Leatherface, those guys. Even the guy from Scream, if you want to even add him to the list.
Well, the problem with those is you got to the point where, especially with like Michael Myers and with Jason and Freddy, they got so far off the map with those.
Yeah.
That it was like, okay, we've made him in 3D and blow up.
Right.
And then we had to, you know, make up a movie about making a movie in order to have him come back. Like, you couldn't make Wes Craven's New Nightmare Part 2.
Yeah.
So they pretty much almost back themselves into the corners of, these have gotten so insane that we have to redo it. Like, Michael Myers, he got blown up in a house on the internet.
Yeah.
The next one, like, you couldn't go from there.
I just want to point out that this whole conversation is happening 2 weeks after people started making fun of the Spider-Man comics because Dr. Octopus beamed his brain into Spider-Man's body. None of that Spider-Man stuff is any more ridiculous than anything that's been said in the last 10 minutes.
Oh, than Jason in Space. Like, yeah, it's... Right. And I love Jason in Space. It was fun.
It was actually probably my favorite Friday the 13th movie.
I love that. I like watching that one.
Because it's so aggressively stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like almost like we get it.
Yeah.
We're putting him in space. This has to be batshit crazy.
All right. So
this Spider-Man thing. What's up with that?
Yeah, then I keep hearing this.
Dr. Octopus was dying. So he had this thing where he could I skimmed it in the shop. Because I don't really care about... I haven't, consistently read a Spider-Man comic in, 10 years. And I just, passingly keep up with it on the internet. Apparently, Dr. Octopus is dying. Peter's mind at some point earlier in the run had been used to take control of Dr. Octopus's planet killing robots or something. And so that gave Dr. Octopus access to Peter's mind. So he transferred his brain into Peter's body. And transferred Peter's body into the brain of the dying Dr. Octopus husk. So then 700 rolls around and they're trying to do something. He's trying to break out of prison so that he can go steal his body back from Dr. Octopus. But he can't all the way do it, so they touch minds for a second and he passes along the need for great responsibility. So Dr. Octopus decides to just be a better Spider-Man than Peter ever was. And then Peter dies.
Is this the thing I keep hearing about Spider-Man dies?
Yes. And the writer of Spider-Man got death threats.
No.
Come on,
man. So Fringe had done that twice.
Yeah, Fringe has pulled this shit like two separate times in the 4 seasons. And that's not to slander Fringe at all. I adore the show. It's just they're playing on such common comic book tropes that that someone who's been reading them for as long as I have can see the stuff coming from a mile away. But at the same time, these are common comic book tropes. Anybody who thinks that this isn't going to be undone by the time the summer rolls around is insane.
Yeah, when Johnny Storm got killed by giant friggin' cockroaches. Right.
Which was awesome. It was a great death scene. And then he got brought back because that's how things happen.
People actually think this is going to stick. I mean,
internet trolls.
Yeah, it's stupid, crazy.
Yeah.
Stupid internet trolls.
And Batman in a time cave, Captain America in a DNA gun.
Yeah, that Captain America one didn't even make a shred of sense.
Right. Let's move on.
It didn't make comic sense.
No, I read that first one. I'm like, wait, so he was in a DNA gun. I'm done with this.
consciousness is rolling through time? Huh. Okay. I guess that works. We'll just roll with it.
I didn't even get the Bruce Wayne time cave one.
I just pictured him getting sucked through a vortex every time there was an eclipse. I'm not even going to bother with like the falling through a hole at the base of all 52 realities.
All right, Jim, what's your outlook this year?
I'm looking forward to it. I think that there's going to be some good stuff in comics.
Yeah.
I think, you know, DC's going to hopefully not screw with Batman too much. I think they got Snyder coming on to Superman, and that's going to straighten some things out.
Mm-hmm.
Morrison, you know, and as much as I was trashing him before, Morrison's Multiversity looks incredible. Yeah. And that, I think that's this year. You know, Wonder Woman's going to keep being good, I assume. And we're going to keep getting more New Gods there, which is awesome. Marvel Now stuff has actually been pretty good to this point. Some of the ancillary X-Men books have been less than great. But, like, X-Men Legacy is the best book that they're putting out. Bendis's X-Men has been a pleasant surprise for me. And Remender on Avengers and Captain America is, I mean, that's a good thing. And Jason Aaron on Thor has been unbelievable too. With, you know, for creator owned stuff, I'm anticipating that the next volume of Atomic Robo is going to be the funniest one, because it's all about Dr. Dinosaur. So I'm super pumped there. And, you know, it's just continuing with a lot of the creator-owned stuff. I'm not really too down on what's coming this year.
Right.
I should probably... I don't know. I guess it would be more fun if I started hate-reading books more, too. Maybe I'll start picking up Justice League again.
Well, I even, like, I'm looking forward to the Brian Wood Star Wars or whatever we have left of it.
Yeah, the 2 years that we're going to get out of it.
Was it two more years? Well, how many years are they going to switch that over?
I think Dark Horse has the license for another 2 years.
Okay. Well. Now, can Marvel still start making their own universe?
Marvel might be able to start on follow up on the Star Wars. Wait, are the Wood books the sequel to the Marvel books?
They're post. First movie.
Okay, but they're not like same continuity.
No, they're New Hope. They're immediately following New Hope.
Alright, yeah, you know what? Lucasfilm and Disney would not let shit get so weird as to publish two separate books in the same time frame at the same time.
Yeah, they'll just let it go. Do you think they'll pick up where they leave off eventually?
It's like 20 issues. They're gonna ignore it completely.
Yeah. All right. Nice.
It'd be like Marvel importing a wing of Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Which they're not going to do because Wood's so set at Dark Horse, even though Marvel's using him for X-Men.
Do you think they'll bring him over in 2 years for that?
We'll see what his relationships is. If his relationships stay good at Marvel, I don't see why they wouldn't. And if he does a good job on the Dark Horse one.
Which he's doing great on Conan, so I don't see why he wouldn't.
Right. I gotta pick that up. Oh, and I'm looking forward to trying digital stuff.
What do you like about the digital versus the non-digital?
I like the guided view. I like guided view, the panel by panel scrolling.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it kind of slows it down a little bit.
Yep.
And the colors just look incredible on the screen.
Yeah, I have a few Walking Deads. They look good. I mean, they.
Yeah, it's just it's crisper, it's clearer. You know, I'm looking forward to trying stuff out. I'm not gonna go all digital.
Right. All right. Cool.
But.
Right.
Yeah, tell me your worst game of the year from last year.
2012?
Yeah, give us a sneak preview of your column.
Okay, well, just let everybody know I'm work. I'm pretty much done with my 2012 best and worst games of the year, or gaming, as I call it, gaming experiences. But as far as where do you want me to go? You want me to go best or worst?
No, I want to go worst.
Well, I haven't really. I haven't gone. I mean, there's not many bad games overall that are worth mentioning. There's obviously 2012 was a big year for MMOs in general. So
yeah,
there are a lot of great MMOs that came out, but there's a lot of bad ones. And the bad one that probably stood out the most would be Star Wars, which is a really downer.
Really?
Yeah, Star Wars: The Old Republic, which I had, you know, that came out in December. Even though it came out at the end of December of 2011, it was essentially a 2012 game. I mean,
yeah,
it was probably the most expensive video game or MMO to date that was, you know, created because of what went into it. The storyline
was just a big steaming turd.
Storyline was amazing. Storyline was great. You know, the quests and the just the because it takes place about 1,000 years prior to the birth of Darth Vader, so
right,
or New Hope, however you want to go. No, to yeah, to Phantom Menace. So the problem is that everybody who played it when they reached level 50, there was not much end game left, and that wasn't the huge issue. It was just that it just got really dull. I mean, even the PvP parts of the game, they weren't engaging. People started dropping off. The problem was they were charging $15 a month for a game that probably shouldn't have been charged $15 to begin with. And I think they were trying to the problem was they were trying to compete with World of Warcraft, and it was too hard to do that. I think the only thing they had going for them was that it was Star Wars, and I think that's the only. I think if it wasn't the Star Wars branding, people wouldn't have stuck with it. And now they're free to play, and people, I think they picked up a few more headcount. But I mean, at one point they were probably over 1 million, 2 million subscribers, and now they're way below 1 million. So
yeah,
they lost a lot of people.
Huh.
But there's a lot of good games that came out in 2012 in the MMO. You know, Guild Wars 2 was amazing. It's still amazing. It's probably the best 2012 or one of the best MMOs to come out to date. And that's free to play out of the box. And even the new World of Warcraft expansion, Mists of Pandaria, is very good too.
Oh, and that's where they're going now. They're letting everybody get their taste for like 15 levels, right?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're giving you that extra, taste, and then but Blizzard knows what they're, Blizzard knows what they're doing. They've been doing this for a while, so I mean, I think it comes down to gameplay is probably the, when you compare gameplay to storyline, gameplay is always gonna trump storyline. But
yeah,
I think World of Warcraft has.
I think there's a balance.
Yeah,
I think you can get away with like average gameplay if your story is really good.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, storyline, I mean, in the case of Star Wars, I think they had too much storyline. And the problem was, this game was, people started hearing about this game 5-6 years ago. And
yeah,
it didn't come out till last December. So I think what happened was, people heard about this game, saw clips of it. It was launched in December of 2011. And then now you're launching a game that was pretty much made 6 years prior, and they're in 6 years ago, they were going off of 6 years ago, you know, the technology or graphics from 6 years ago compared to now, it was a big leap. And I think they didn't catch up. They didn't, you know, it's almost like it didn't stand the test of time. It didn't, you know, they were launching while other games like Guild Wars 2 were preparing to launch, and that game just blew away. Just the look of the game blew away Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think they just they took too long to launch the game. If they launched a game 2 years or so ago, 3 years ago, then I think it probably would have done a lot better.
I I had minimal experience with Star Wars. I just got to throw this story in because it's relevant. Mm-hmm. So at Comic-Con, not last year, but the year prior, they were like actually letting you test out Star Wars for a free t-shirt, right. Which I'll do, yeah. You know, pretty much for a free t-shirt. I'll play a game. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I've never played an MMO before, but my friend was like, come on, we got to play. They're giving away a t-shirt. I'm like, all right, for you, I'll do it. So we're sitting there. And I'm sitting there going, all right, so do we get to play, like, against each other or with each other? He goes, oh, I didn't know you wanted to do that. I go, well, I'm playing with, like, he said I'd come in to play alongside of you. Like, yeah. So I'm sitting there playing this game, and I'm just, like, sitting there hitting five, like the number five.
Okay.
Hoping something would happen because it had been before. And I'm like, and Rob's like, my friend Rob's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm hitting five. Nothing's happening. Like, the people in the booth probably thought I was insane. But I had no idea, no clue what I was doing. So I'm just sitting there like, I'm hitting five. Because I think it was like a picture of a gun or something. So... That's funny.
Yeah, and by the way, the only shirts that they had at that booth were your size. Dave's a medium, by the way.
I used to be.
Wow. Yeah, I was. I used to be a medium, too. I used to be an adult medium when I was 12.
Yeah, I'm extra large now. So.
Yeah, I'm gamer medium, small. Like I'm 2XL.
A scant year and a half ago.
Dave and I, we were talking about it earlier, actually. As far as the other games that go, there's not a whole lot that... as far as the good games, the good games are what I'm most psyched about. I mean, like, my list is very. If when you look at my list, when you compare it to same games on it, but it's there's a lot of stuff on there that's unique, I think, and like games like Persona 4 Golden, which is a great Vita
really?
Game, it's a great
fighting game, right?
What's that? Well,
fighting game.
Yeah,
right?
Well, there is a fighting version called Arena, which is on.
Oh.
I think it's on Xbox and PS3, but
yeah.
This version is for the PS Vita, and it's a traditional JRPG, Japanese RPG, and it's awesome. I mean, it's like one of my favorite games of the year. It's even the whole series, the Persona series, that you know was. Pretty huge on the PS2 back in the day, but this guy is for the Vita, and it's not only a traditional RPG. It takes about 2 hours for it to actually get into like the action aspects of it, like, of an RPG. So most
sounds
of
like
it,
a Japanese RPG to me.
Yeah, so it takes about 2 hours, but it's very
cutscenes,
a lot of cutscenes, but it's a lot of cool social aspects of it. So there's a lot to do in it, but I think if you can get past that first 2 hours or so, and it took me a while, but I start getting sucked into it, it's awesome. I'm in probably 5-6 hours of the game right now, and it's really fun, and it's great.
I'm kind of a sucker. Every once in a while, I'll get into a mood for a Japanese RPG. Last year I got all the achievements for Final Fantasy 13.
Are you playing? Did you play 13-2 or 13? Just
no, regular 13.
Regular 13. Okay.
The bad one, the linear one, which
yeah.
I enjoyed greatly.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play 13. I'm trying to get back into Japanese RPGs. I mean, I was playing Persona 4. I was playing The Last Story, which was on the Wii, and Xenoblade was another game on the Wii, but. I really took to Persona really quick, and I think it's a fun. It gives a good mixture of different aspects of gaming. There's a lot of social aspects to the game where you build friendships and there's relationships in the game, and there's almost like there's a lot of stuff where, for example, if you don't know the Persona series, but this one you're actually a student in school, and they score you on how knowledgeable you are in different subjects. Like the teacher will ask you a question, and if you know it, you know it. But you can gain different XP from different parts of the storyline. So if they ask you a math question and you get it right, your knowledge goes up higher. If you don't, then
math.
Yeah, it's like weird. They'll throw like history questions at you, and you know, nerds. you don't know. But it's kind of cool because, you know, the story can go different in different ways. So depending on what your strong abilities are and what your non-strong abilities are. But when you get into like the action part of the game, the fighting parts, it's awesome. It's so much fun. But it's still not my favorite game of the year. So there's
Does your health points go up when you make your sim go to the gym? And
I haven't got there yet, but I know that I think you can do some sports activities somewhere in the game. I've heard, but the game's like a 60-plus hour game.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's probably
those Japanese do not mess around with their role playing games.
No, I mean it's a serious game. I mean, like it's but the cool thing about the game, it's such a, if you ever thought about buying, contemplated about buying a Vita, and that's what I kind of talk about in my review, is that this is the game, this game alone is worth it to have a Vita alone. And I was like, I'm not going to buy it. I heard, I'm not really into this kind of game. And I bought it. I bought it on the PlayStation online store, right from the Vita, downloaded it. And I played it a few times, didn't get into it. Then I went back to it. I started playing more, and I got sucked right into it. It's really good.
I haven't done handheld, like non, like cell phone casual gaming since the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I had a DS.
Yeah.
And I played Elite Beat Agents. Like, I had some other games that were very role playing like, and I'm like, this is starting to feel like Final Fantasy VII, except I don't think the payoff will be as good. Like,
yeah, I mean the. There's a lot of a lot of the retro games for the Vita or the 3DS are awesome. Like a lot of the ports, like the Final Fantasy ports and the
They port Final Fantasy VII for the Vita?
Yes, that I haven't played it on the Vita. Then there's Final Fantasy Tactics, which is awesome.
I never finished VII. My save file got corrupted after 58 hours. And I just
ported
myself to do it again.
It's tough. Sometimes the porting games are tough because it's like, okay, I own the game already, but
yeah,
now I got to buy it again to just play. It's like, let me play something I never played before. So I kind of skip. I'm not gonna.
And then like you play it out of nostalgia's sake for like 20 minutes, and you just think to yourself, oh man, games back then were way crappier than they are now.
Yeah, I was like playing Castlevania is fun. I was playing Castlevania on Virtual Console on the 3DS, which is the original Castlevania for Game Boy, and it's just like playing the Game Boy. It's fun. I mean, it's enjoyable, but there's a point where like, okay, I had enough of this, you know?
Yeah, Mega Man X Street Fighter. They released. Did you see that?
Yeah, I haven't played it, but yeah.
For the 25th anniversaries of both franchises.
Oh, right.
They made a Mega Man game where the Street Fighter characters were the bosses.
Oh, that's cool. Where is that on the Vita?
It's free to it's free to download for your computer on Capcom's site.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
It held my attention for about a day and a half.
Okay.
It's free, so you should download it because it's free.
Of course.
You know, you get to get Ryu and Chun-Li's powers on Mega Man.
That's cool. I mean, if you're a huge Mega Man fan, I know on the Vita you can download pretty much Mega Man 1 through 4. And
you
really
can get pretty much all of them on PSN.
Another game I'm playing right now, which is so good. I'm not going to kind of go over what my top list, but
by the time this comes out, it is going to be out, assuming you get it up.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. Far Cry 3, one of the best games of the year, hands down. Yeah, Far Cry 3 is amazing. It's really that good. Have you played it yet?
Not yet. I gotta get my next game is probably going to be Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2 is on my list. It's to me, it's Borderlands 2, and it's just awesome. And I think it's just, I think the great thing about that game is, and I kind of, I compare it a lot to The Walking Dead, the Telltale series.
Is that the point and click one?
Yeah, which we'll get there in a minute, so.
That game was great, though. We'll I didn't finish the last episode, but.
Yep. I mean, I think the only reason why I'm comparing the two is for only one reason, is the way the game looks, the way the graphics are done, the way they portray the characters. They don't portray them very realistic. They don't kind of like go for the, you know, these are what, you know, the kind of the Call of Duty kind of, let's try to make it looking as real as possible. They kind of make it look a little bit goofy looking, more cartoonish. And I think the great thing about a game like Borderlands 2 is that it's going to, you can play the game in 10 years from now, and I think the game is going to look, play just, you know, amazing, and it's going to look great too. It's like when you play a lot of the older Super Mario games from GameCube days, and or like Metroid Prime, for example. That game, I was playing Metroid Prime last week, and that game came out around 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And that game is awesome. So much fun. If I just turn that game on and start playing, I couldn't give you an exact date on when that game was created.
That game makes me want to steal my sister's GameCube.
And I'm playing it on Wii. I'm playing it on the Wii.
Yeah.
And
which one is this?
Metroid Prime.
Oh.
That the whole Metroid Prime series was just awesome.
Yeah, it's like a Halo. It looks kind of like Halo, sort of, in that way it plays.
Yeah.
But it's it looks, the music, and I couldn't believe the music on that game is off
yep.
the charts.
Really
it's
good.
So good. It's so good.
And yep.
I think Borderlands 2 is going to be that type of game, or even just the Borderlands series to begin with. I think that they don't try to take themselves too seriously, and I think the game comes off brilliant in that way. And I think that the same goes with The Walking, even though some people might not like the way The Walking Dead game plays, but I think though the way it looks is really cool, really unique. I think that's
cel-shaded. The Walking Dead game was just kind of boring as shit to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you either love it or hate it kind of thing, I think. And I think the problem, I would start the game and I wouldn't finish it, and I would pick the game up again on it. Like I've been playing The Walking Dead on three different platforms now. I'm playing it on my phone, I'm playing it on the on my computer, and I'm playing it on the Xbox. And the problem I'm doing is, but none of them are connected in any way. So I'm replaying missions over again and trying to get back to where I left off. And
yeah.
I kind of like, okay, I want to play here, but sometimes I want to play on my computer, but I want to play here. But I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, I don't want to play this part again. So I kind of like, I keep not finishing things I want to do. So I kind of, but I don't know. But the game, I like the game.
I just play it on the PS3. I mean, I would figure it's one of those games, like, it may not have much replay value unless you really do want to find all the.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those games where it's like people like, it gets pretty shocking at points where it's like, and everybody knows you got to make these hard choices and stuff like that. But it's kind of cool at times where you kind of like, I really want to like go through the, like, I want to look at everything. I want to look for everything. I kind of like that. Like open every drawer and look for the thing. And look, and I kind of think that's kind of cool. But not everybody's going to like that kind of game. And I think it's going to be one of those things where it's, you either like it or hate it, but I don't know.
I had loved, absolutely loved Heavy Rain. So for me, it was.
Yeah, if you like that kind of game, I mean, that's the. It's,
it was great.
It reminds me also. I mean, it's an. I guess you could call it an action or more of an adventure game. I don't know what you could call it. Adventure game, maybe? Or action? I don't know. But,
The Walking Dead?
Yeah, what would that be considered? An action game?
It's very similar to, like, those old text-based games from
yeah
ages ago.
Yeah.
It's Zork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even down to like the fact that it like gives you orders on what to do.
One of the games that I chose on my list were kind of games that were like late bloomer kind of games, and it seems like a lot of the games that came out towards the end of the year are awesome games, and I think coming into 2013, because now we're all kind of getting to the end. Everybody knows that we're end of life on all the major consoles, PlayStation, Xbox, and we just had the revamp of the Wii, but 2013 is probably going to be the last we see of Xbox 360, and as far as them being the flagship consoles for Microsoft and Sony. So I think a lot of the games that are coming out in 2013, like Tomb Raider, we got GTA 5, we got.
Screw that game.
The new Metal Gear. I know you hate GTA, but Metal Gear. The new Metal Gear.
Pick something and do it.
I know. But I think the
other. Oh God, it's such a pile of crap.
We talked about this last time, but I think they're waiting to. I think they're giving us a lot of good stuff right at the end, and I think before they launch.
God of War Ascension.
Yeah, that's gonna be great. I think all these, and then they're giving us a lot of good games before 2014, and because kind of we're all hoping for new consoles next fall. So,
yeah,
I think we have confirmation that like at least 720 is gonna be rolled out at E3. Wasn't that floating around?
Yeah, I think that's what the thing is. And there's a lot of photos floating. Who knows if these photos are true or not? But. But yes, I think we're gonna. I think this E3 this year is gonna be a huge E3. Last year was kind of like not a whole lot was discussed, or you know, there wasn't much to talk about. There was kind of hints here and there on some cool supposedly next gen games like Watch Dogs and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. That's gonna be the one that tells the truth as far as like what's coming when, because I got a sinking suspicion Watch Dogs is next gen.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely next gen. They haven't announced what console it's for yet.
I think that's gonna be next gen, and the other Metal Gear game is gonna be next gen, I think too. So, but I think
this one? The one beyond the one after Rising?
Yeah, the one that they had did you watch the VGAs this year? And do you see that little? That who knows if that the Phantom Pain trailer, which is supposedly Metal Gear 5.
I have not watched the Video Game Awards in which number is this? What is this, like the 7th or 8th one?
7.
I haven't watched the Video Game Awards in 7 or 8 years.
This is what you do. YouTube the video, just YouTube Phantom Pain and watch the trailer. They don't say it's Metal Gear.
What's it called?
Phantom Pain.
Phantom Pain?
Yeah, like PH, like Phantom Pain, two words. And
there's no alternate spelling of Phantom Guy. Yeah.
Phantom Pain sounds like who CM Punk's gonna fight at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Phantom Pain, but look for it and you'll see they looks like Snake's in it, and there's a lot of characters from the Metal Gear series that are, they look, you'll see when you look at it. And the gameplay, everything you're watching in this video, supposedly is gameplay. So,
what other stuff came out of the Video Game Awards? Because
they showed the South Park stuff, like that South Park. But I didn't watch the whole. I only watched the beginning. I kind of wanted just. Watched the Phantom Pain part, and I kind of didn't watch much more after that. But I think the next gen stuff is going to be. I mean, once the Xbox, I think going back to E3, this year's E3 is going to be. I think is going to be huge. I think they're going to talk. There's a lot to talk about. Hopefully, they're going to announce 720 and PS4 or Orbis or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody a few days ago about this whole. We were talking about the Vita and how Sony is kind of like not hush hush about the Vita, but like what the future holds for the Vita. And I think what we were talking about was we were comparing the PlayStation 4 to, they might, you know how the Wii U is with this, you know, this huge handheld controller in your hand. And I think they're going to, this is just speculation, this is what we were discussing, but the Vita could be somewhere connected to the PS4, where it'll be used as a controller virtually with different, depending on the game you're playing.
I mean, you already have crossplay with it on the PS3.
Right, and I think they're going to bundle it in. And I think that's the thing. They're going to, like, force the Vita down people's throats. It's like, this thing is... The Vita, hands down, is awesome. It's... I just wish there was more awesome games for it. And I think it's so powerful that I think if they bundled it in with a PS4, people would, like, eat it up. And I think they're waiting for that to come out so they can kind of...
Do you know how much that console would cost?
Well, yeah. I mean, Sony has been known to launch high-priced consoles. I mean, look up what PS3...
You're talking... PS3 was $450 when it launched, right?
Yeah, at least $450, yeah.
No, it was about that. Or $399, maybe.
We're talking $600. If you're packaging a PS4 with a Vita, the Vita alone's $250.
Yeah, but I think they're going to... They'll make it a version... Not a version of it, but they'll... Even the Vita price has gone down a bit, so...
I don't see it, man, because they had trouble getting people into the PS3.
But I don't think it's going to be... I think they'll make a version. I don't think the PS4 will be only available with the Vita. I think
I hope not.
I think you'll be able to get it with the Vita if that's the case. But I think they'll just have the console by itself.
I just
even
want
at
thumbsticks.
$400, even at $400, the PlayStation 3... was as expensive as most people's televisions were at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of people were spending more than $450, $500 on a TV.
Yeah, it took me 2 years to be able to afford a PS3. Like...
Right.
Yeah.
If you launch a console at $600, you have no casual game base at all.
No. I think they're going to have to do either they're going to lower the price down or...
They'll be a rich person's GameCube.
Yeah. Yeah,
They'll be like the Bentley of GameCubes.
And, but I think they're going to still... My speculation is they're going to still keep the Blu-ray.
Oh, absolutely. It's the PS3 right now is the best Blu-ray player on the market. There's no reason to think why a format created by Sony wouldn't be involved.
But I think on the Xbox,
we're still getting away from digital. We're from hard media.
I think Xbox.
We're still going towards digital only. And I think Xbox is going to be. Xbox will have CDs, but Xbox will be way more flexible with digital stuff.
Oh, the PlayStation probably will too, but it's still going to be a Blu-ray player.
But the Blu-ray player is going to be less important as time goes on.
Well, the cool thing about the PS Plus membership now, when you pay like $50 a year, they cloud your games now. I think that's going to be a huge thing in the PS.
Yeah.
You're not going to really need that internal local storage now, where you can just cloud your games and pick them up where you left off from anywhere you want, your friend's console.
You're still going to need to do the installs though.
Yeah.
Onto your actual system. I mean, you're not going to be able to run a 50 gig game off of the cloud.
Yeah, you're going to need to do those, right? So you're going to need to. You're going to still need the. Yeah, you'll still need to do that.
But, and that's where the optical media will still come in.
Yeah.
Right.
But that Blu-ray player is their thing. You know, that's their Sony's. They're not going to give that up, and because if they give that up, everybody else is going to give that up. So. By them saying, you know, we're not going to do Blu-ray anymore, that's saying, well, that physically...
They're not going to be the ones to say we don't do Blu-ray. The market will just stop supporting it.
Of course. They say Sony's giving it up, well, then it's dead.
Sony won't give it up until after it's already dead.
Right. And
yeah.
And like Dave said, it's the best Blu-ray player on the market, hands down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that's so. I'm gearing up for E3 right now, so I can't wait. And we're in January right now, so I'm looking forward to E3 in June. So I'm psyched.
Nice.
So, But I think, yeah. But other than that, I think, you know, we're kind of ready for 2013. I know we've have a lot of stuff going on the site, and
I didn't hear you mention WWE 13 or NHL 13 or FIFA 13 in that.
NHL 13 wasn't on the list because Bill doesn't like fantasy games.
Or PS All-Stars.
But okay, of what I know, which is very little about sports games, but I do own WWE 13, which is a very fine game. It's a great.
You
game.
Got WWE 13?
I do have it. I thought I have for Xbox.
Oh.
I do have it because it's fun. It's an enjoy. I do kind of like wrestling games. I think they're fun, but I do know that FIFA 13 is that game got really good reviews.
It's ridiculous. It's so good.
And the only time I played a soccer game was I demoed FIFA 12 on the Vita, and it's really good on the Vita too. But
Dave, are you excited for next year when they come out with KHL 14?
Hey, they're still meeting right now. So, they're still meeting.
Yeah, I can't wait for Gary Bettman to come in and crap on the table accidentally because he doesn't know where the toilet is. Gary Bettman sucks, by the way.
I would be hard pressed to disagree.
I think someone should put him in a barrel and roll him down a hill.
I pretty much have gone on record as saying until there's hockey, I refuse to buy any NHL merchandise.
I won't even wear my Sakic jersey. Because those guys can go to hell. Those guys can eat all of the dicks. Like, this guy, the guy has now lost two full seasons worth of games. And he keeps getting rehired by the owners. He's terrible. He's terrible at his job. Like, you can't fail up this hard in politics.
It's true. No, it's true. I have no love for Commissioner Bettman at this moment. Especially considering the Rangers probably would have won the Cup this year.
Yeah. They're going to add expansion teams coming out of this. That's how they're going to come out of it.
No, they're not. There's no way they can.
The rumor going around is they're going to add two expansion teams.
No, I heard the biggest rumor was realignment, so that way Winnipeg's actually in the West and Nashville's actually in the East.
They have to do that.
There's no way they can add two more teams, though. There's already too many teams.
An article on Sports Illustrated that said that they were going to add two more teams in.
I heard more playoff teams, but...
That's stupid, too, but they're saying the $500 million apiece league fees would be how the owners, but how the league recouped their losses from the lockout.
Oh, that would be a terrible idea.
And as such, is probably the most obvious way forward for them.
I mean, I'm sure the players would be happy. It's more players, but
right. What town? What cities do you put? At that point, Hartford has to be back on the table, right?
Yeah. And
how can you put back?
Yeah, probably.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna add a section for sports. Will you want to head that off? What do you think?
Angry sports talk.
Angry sports talk. You could be the angry sports talk guy. You could talk about wrestling and hockey only. That's it.
Only wrestling and hockey?
Only wrestling.
Not even soccer. We can't give soccer love.
Yeah, we'll put soccer.
The thing I have season tickets to.
Wrestling, hockey, game. And soccer. And I think that would be a good idea. You can head off. We can have you do exclusive interviews with retired wrestlers and stuff like that. So.
That should go well.
Front that for Comic-Con next year. Yeah, we're here with Brutus the Barber and Greg the Hammer.
Because those guys definitely keep their mental facilities into their old age.
Well, we can have
interview Virgil.
Virgil, yeah, we can have, because Virgil will always be around. He'll take anybody's interview, probably.
And $20 to hold the belt, the $1 million belt.
He probably has PayPal on his phone. So, all right, cool. But I'm glad. I think we had a good talk. You know, I think went over time a little bit, but that's good. Definitely check out our top 2012 video game lists. And Jim, you have your top list too, right?
Yeah, I got four articles of the top stuff that happened in 2012 in comics.
Definitely check that out. And Dave, we're gonna get you back into
writing. I actually am trying to put together anticipated release dates for 2013 article. However, they keep shifting release dates, so it's everyone I put on there. It's like, oh, that moved. Cool, like Carrie moved today, so.
Awesome.
Moved to October, which actually makes sense.
Yep.
Instead of having it open in March. But, yeah.
But that's good. That means that they think that it's actually a good movie.
Yeah.
I want your review on Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D when you see it.
When I see it?
Yeah.
I can make that happen.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, guys. It was good talk. We will, this has been episode 9 of Fan Wanking, and definitely check out our site at wuwa.com, our Facebook /wuwa. Follow us on Twitter at wuwa.com. Any last thoughts, guys?
I gotta go do dishes.
Okay.
Thoughtful, right?
Yeah.
I might play more PlayStation hockey.
Yeah, I'm going to go eat some dinner because I haven't had a thing to eat yet since I've been home.
You should do that. It's 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I mean, healthy.
Yeah, at this point, though, you might want to wait till breakfast.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to fit into your medium shirt now.
Yeah, I'm thinking about rocking the medium tomorrow, doing a kind of a belly style.
I'm sure everyone that you work with would be ecstatic.
I'm thinking about rocking the belly shirt tomorrow. It might be a little chilly, but, you know, whatever.
You know,
I'll be rocking those mediums soon enough, boys. Just you wait.
I can't wait. Good luck. Good luck. All right, guys. We'll have a fabulous night, and we'll see you next week for episode 10.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
Later.
Bye.